From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs, started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news first, the headlines. Indonesia and Timor Leste committed to improving economy in border areas. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs mentions Indonesia as the first country to evacuate its citizens in Turkey. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. The governments of Indonesia and Timor Leste are committed to developing the economy in the border areas of East Nusa Tenggara Province, Indonesia, and Aukus Municipality, Timor Leste. Indonesian President Joko Widodo welcomed the increasing trade relations between the two countries, and Indonesia's government is committed to intensifying discussions on economic development in the border areas between East Nusa Tenggara and Aukus. President Jokowi made the statement at the joint press conference with Prime Minister of Timor Leste, Taur Matan Ruak, at the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java Province, on Monday, as quoted by Antara. Aukus is an exclave municipality of Timor Leste that is surrounded by East Nusa Tenggara Province. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi conveyed that the Indonesian government through the Indonesian Embassy in Ankara, Turkey, became the first foreign representative to evacuate its citizens after the earthquake disaster hit Turkey last Monday. According to Minister Retno Marsudi on Monday in Jakarta, around 500 Indonesian citizens living in the area affected by the 7.8 magnitude earthquake.
Indonesia adalah perwakilan asing pertama.
Indonesia is the first foreign representative to evacuate its own citizens in Turkey. In addition, Minister Retno Marsudi mentioned in the first phases of efforts, the Indonesian government through the Indonesian embassy in Ankara had managed to evacuate 123 people, including two Malaysian citizens and one Myanmar citizen. Meanwhile, eight other people consisting of five Indonesian citizens and three citizens of the Philippines are still in the second phase of the evacuation process. Moreover, two Indonesian citizens died and were buried in Kahraman Maras, while Indonesian citizens have received treatment at the hospital. Next, we have the Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, who conveyed that Lake Toba F1 powerboat is one of the strategies for economic recovery and business opportunities for the people of North Sumatra. Minister Sandiaga, at a weekly brief with Sandi Uno on Monday in Jakarta, explained the international event is predicted to gain high attention from digital media and have a significant impact on the economy of North Sumatra.
Dan F1 powerboat ini diprediksi akan meraih
the F1 powerboat is predicted to gain the attention of 180 million digital media impressions and a direct impact of 212 billion rupiah on the economy of North Sumatra. Sandiaga Uno further said the direct economic impact due to the F1 powerboat will be felt more by the MSME sector. Lake Toba boat will be held from February 24 to the 26, 2023. This championship is attended by 20 participants from 10 teams coming from various countries, including England, Ukraine, Saudi Arabia, China, Portugal, Brazil, France, South Korea, and Qatar. The last national news comes from Indonesian state-owned enterprises ministry that said Indonesia and China have agreed on the cost overrun in Jakarta-Bandung rapid train project. As reported by Antara, Deputy Minister 2 of the State-Owned Enterprises Ministry, Kartika Wirjoatmojo, on Monday stated her side just returned from Beijing, China some time ago, during which the ministry has agreed on the cost overrun, both by Indonesia and China, so the funding can be dispersed immediately to PT KCIC. Wirjoatmojo delivered the statement at a meeting with Commission 6 of the House of Representatives that was accessed on Monday. Next, we have the international news from Japanese Foreign Minister Hayashi Yoshimasa, who has said Japan is committed to strengthening its partnership with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, which is now entering its 50th year. As reported by Antara, speaking at the commemorative symposium for the 50th year of ASEAN and Japan friendship and cooperation in Jakarta on Monday, increasing cooperation with ASEAN is very important, and current geopolitical dynamics, especially in the Indo-Pacific region, Japan was ASEAN's first dialogue partner and held the first informal dialogue in 1973. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi arrives in China on Tuesday to begin a three-day visit aimed at strengthening economic cooperation and consolidating relations between the two countries. As reported by Arab.com, I should say ArabNews.com, Tehran has said Raisi is expected to hold private talks with his Chinese counterpart, President Xi Jinping, in the capital Beijing, with the pair expected to sign a number of cooperation documents. Iran and China have strong economic ties and in 2021 signed a 25-year strategic cooperation pact. We end the news with U.S. State Department Counselor Derek Chollet will lead a delegation to Pakistan this week as Washington and Islamabad seek to repair ties strained under former Prime Minister Imran Khan. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the State Department said in a statement on Monday, the U.S. delegation will visit Bangladesh and Pakistan from February 14 to 18 to meet with senior government officials, civil society members, and business leaders. Khan, who was ousted in a no-confidence vote in parliament last April, had antagonized the United States throughout his tenure. He welcomed the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan in 2021 and accused Washington of being behind the attempt to oust him in 2022. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Oh, The COVID-19 pandemic that hit Indonesia and the world have brought various entertainment industry activities to a complete halt. In Indonesia, the cessation of these activities began since the government imposed the large-scale social restrictions regulation on March 15, 2020, shortly after the first case of COVID-19 was found in Indonesia. Of course, these restrictions had a major impact on almost all industries, including the creative and entertainment industries. Those who were hit worst by this was the art workers who lost their jobs because several concerts or festivals were postponed or cancelled. These conditions certainly affected the economy and national income, especially income from the tourism and creative economy sectors. Now, after almost 3 years have passed with the improvement in the COVID-19 case in the country, and the lifting of the implementation of restrictions in Indonesia by President Joko Widodo as of December 30th, 2022, it is the time for creative and entertainment industries to rise. Several music concerts and exhibitions began to be held offline. The public also welcomed the holding of music concerts after almost 3 years of not having live music concerts. However, entertainment organizers are often constrained with obtaining permits for the implementation of activities, especially regarding time. For this reason, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy is preparing a mechanism to facilitate licensing for the implementation of activities through a comprehensive and transparent digitalization scheme. This was conveyed by the Deputy for Tourism Products and Activities Organizer, Vincent Jemadu, in Jakarta on Monday. He explained that through this mechanism, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy seeks to make all licensing processes transparent. His party is also coordinating with several related agencies to realize the digitization scheme for permits for the implementation of this activity. The process of obtaining permits is one of the things that is a concern to actors in the field of music and other activities, because they are considered to take a long time. Of course, changes to the licensing mechanism are expected to make it easier for the actors and promoters of the activities because they have sufficient time to prepare and promote their activities. By facilitating licensing, it is expected that entertainment and creative industries in Indonesia will be even more vibrant. In the end, a national economy can increase.
Today's story starts with the event on February 14, 1945, Peta Rebellion in Blitar, East Java. On February 14, 1945, the Indonesian Defense Forces, or Peta, in Blitar, under the leadership of Supriyadi, rebelled against the Japanese invaders. The plan was triggered because the young commanders were touched to see the suffering of the Indonesian people who were treated like slaves by the Japanese army. The rebellion was thwarted by the Japanese army. 78 Peta officers and soldiers from Blitar were finally arrested and then put on trial in Jakarta. But Supriyadi was missing at the time. On August 9, 1975, Supriyadi was officially declared a national hero of Indonesia. The event is that in 1946, the red-white flag was flown for the first time in Manado, North Sulawesi. After the proclamation of independence of the Republic of Indonesia on August 17, 1945, most of eastern Indonesia was still under colonial rule. So at midnight on February 14, 1946, the fighters from North Sulawesi, led by Commanders Taulu and Wisan, assisted by Commanders Franz Bismann and Freddy Lumanau, carried out an attack and arrested all soldiers and commanders of the Dutch colonialists from Manado, Tomohon to Tonsea. In the afternoon, the commander of the Royal Dutch East Indies Army, KNIL, De Vries, was forced to give up the red and white flag to fly for the first time in North Sulawesi. We began today in story with the event in 2005 when former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri was killed. Former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri was killed in a bomb explosion west part of the capital, Beirut, on February 14, 2005. Hariri's assassination attempt also killed 9 people and injured 100 others. About 300 kilograms of explosives were detonated as his motorcade passed the Saint George Hotel in Beirut. The assassination occurred amid rising political tensions between Syria, which is a political ally of Lebanon, and the opposition. Hariri resigned as Prime Minister of Lebanon in October 2004 and joined the opposition. And listener, that's today in history.
Cinta.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Director General for America and Europe of Indonesia, Ministry of Foreign Affairs Ambassador Umar Hadi invited a delegation of the Swiss Ministry of Foreign Affairs led by Ambassador Heinrich Schellenberg, head of the Asia and Pacific divisions of the Swiss Ministry of Foreign Affairs, to visit directly to the construction site of Nusantara, the new national capital in East Kalimantan on February 8, 2023. Escorted by the Kemlu.go.id page, since President Joko Widodo's zero-point groundbreaking in March 2022, the visit of the Swiss delegation was the first by a government delegation from a friendly country to Nusantara. The delegation was welcomed by the head of the new National Capital Authority, Bambang Susantono, and other officials. As a follow-up to engagement with international partners on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, last January, Bambang Susantono invited Swiss investors and experts to participate in developing Indonesia as a sustainable smart forest city. The Swiss delegation stated that it was ready to facilitate cooperation between the new National Capital Authority and potential partners from Switzerland, especially in the areas of urban planning, public transportation, vocational education, and environmental sustainability. The visit to the new national capital Nusantara in East Kalimantan was carried out on the second day of the Swiss delegation, their stay in the province. Previously on February 7, the Director General for America and Europe of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Ambassador Umar Hadi, and Swiss Ambassador to Indonesia, Schellenberg, chaired the 8th round of the Indonesian-Swiss political dialogue meeting in Balikpapan. Indonesia and Switzerland have recorded a number of important achievements in bilateral relations in recent years, including the signing of the Indonesia-Switzerland Investment Protections and Enhancements Agreement in Davos, Switzerland on May 24, 2022, and the entry into force of the Indonesia-Switzerland Comprehensive Economic Partnerships Agreement, CEPA, with member countries of the European Free Trade Association, EFTA, on November 1, 2021. Ambassador Umar Hadi said that apart from the economic sector, there had been much progress in Indonesia-Switzerland cooperation in other fields, including mitigation and handling of natural disaster, vocational education, human rights, and sustainable development. According to him, Indonesia-Switzerland cooperation needs to utilize shared values and principles in order to produce concrete cooperation.
Kepada yang kuhormati sana, ku sampaikan salam ini untuk mewakilkan rasa terima kasihku. Menyambut hariku, berlagu dengan gaya nadamu. Di mana aku di sini, rindu akan nawaimu. Semesta riang, tersenyum merekah, lagumu bagai semangat di jiwa. Oh hatiku ini rindu, namun tak perlu
gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
VOI listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to travel to Yogyakarta on Java Island. When traveling to Yogyakarta, don't forget to buy a souvenir named Yangko. The shape is a box like a small brick. The texture is chewy with a variety of colors. Yangko's chewy texture comes from glutinous rice flour, which is its main ingredient. The sticky rice flour dough is then mixed with powdered sugar and filled with nuts, which produce a sweet and savory taste sensation. Listener, Yangko comes from Kota Gede, Yogyakarta. In the past, Kota Gede was the capital of the Islamic Mataram Kingdom, a large empire that became the forerunner of the Surakarta Sultanate and the Yogyakarta Sultanate. In the past, this food was known as the food of kings or priyayi. Not all ordinary people could enjoy it, because the price was quite expensive at that time. But now, anyone can enjoy Yangko. You need to know, currently Yangko has been designated as an intangible cultural heritage of Indonesia in 2022. Now you can enjoy several Yangko flavors such as chocolate, durian, melon, and strawberry flavors. These sticky rice cakes are also made colorful to make an attractive impression. The price is also relatively cheap, around 10,000 to 15,000 rupiah or around 0.66 to 0.99 cents US dollar per box. Each portion of this food is usually covered with thin paper so they don't stick to one another, and a box usually contains several flavors. Yangko is indeed very suitable for souvenirs because it is cheap and also lasts long. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, which introduces Indonesian expression and vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency, Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Our topic today is hotel stay. Next, I'm going to present a conversation entitled Fasilitas Apa? Fasilitas apa, which means what facilities. This conversation takes place between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and a hotel receptionist. Dev asked about the facilities in the hotel. Let's listen to their conversation.
Fasilitas apa yang buka selama 24 jam? Restoran dan spa.
After listening to the conversation, I'll present phrases and vocabulary related to today's title, Fasilitas Apa? Fasilitas Apa, which means, what facilities? I'll say the words slowly twice, and you can repeat after me. Fasilitas. Fasilitas, which means facilities. Apa? Apa, which means what? Yang buka. Yang buka, which means which is open. Selama 24 jam. Selama 24 jam, which means for 24 hours. Fasilitas apa yang buka selama 24 jam? Fasilitas apa yang buka selama 24 jam, which means what facilities are open 24 hours? In the conversation, you heard the phrase, fasilitas apa yang buka selama 24 jam? Fasilitas apa yang buka selama 24 jam, which means what facilities are open 24 hours. In that sentence, there is the word apa, apa, which means what. It is used to ask about the topic of a conversation. The phrase fasilitas, fasilitas, which means facility or facilities, is the topic of the conversation between Dev and the receptionist. The question word apa, apa, which means what, can be placed after the topic of conversation. For example, fasilitas apa yang buka selama 24 jam? Fasilitas apa yang buka selama 24 jam? Which means, what facilities are open 24 hours? It's asking for alternatives or various facilities that are open 24 hours at the hotel. Other examples. The question word apa, apa, which means what, can also be placed before the topic of conversation. For example, apa fasilitas yang buka selama 24 jam? Apa fasilitas yang buka selama 24 jam? Which means what facilities are open 24 hours? It's asking for alternatives or various facilities that are open 24 hours at the hotel. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example of a conversation once again.
Fasilitas apa yang buka selama 24 jam? Restoran dan spa.
That was Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today with the title Fasilitas Apa? Fasilitas apa, which means what facilities? Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. We will meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening.
What you mean? Say what you really mean to say. Back to you, it's easy. But honey, I choose to be okay again today.
Just to be okay.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOI listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a Malay song titled Joget Pulau Buau by Wak Dol. Composed by Abdul Razak Al-Bentani, the Malay song tells about Buau Island in Bintan Regency, Riau Islands. Its lyrics describe Buau Island as having shady green trees with beautiful beaches. On this island, people happily catch birds, swim, and catch fish. According to the song creator, Abdul Razak Al-Bentani, he composed this song to recall his hometown, the village of Mentigi, on the island of Buau. Well, listener, here is Joget Pulau Buau by Wak Dol. Enjoy the song.
Semakin menyengat, risalah hati tiada berpadam, menatap pantai hilanglah pernah. Pulau Buau tempat berenang, pasir rumit pantainya indah, hiasan permai damai dan tenang, hilangkan hati yang sedang gundah.
Kita meniti anak ayam di dalam kandang. Janganlah kita berisau di hati. Mari kita joget berdendang. Burung murai di atas jerami, hingga sebentar di ranting bakau. Cuba dengar lagu kami, judulnya Joget Pulau Buau.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voynews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voy Indonesia, email voy@voynews.id. Thank you.